Live across the Great Lakes State, you're connected to Michigan's most engaging and influential radio and television program, Michigan's Big Show, starring Michael Patrick Shields, presented by Blue Cross, Blue Shield of Michigan, and Blue Care Network.
I'm producer and creative director Tony Cuthbert.
This is meteorologist John McMurray.
Now in the shadow of the Capitol Dome in Lansing, he's heard from the beaches of Lake Michigan to the halls of power and behind closed doors, here's Michigan's Michael Patrick Shields.
Michael Patrick Shields is on the air.
Good morning, world.
Good morning, Michigan. I'm Kyle Malin, editor of the MERS newsletter, filling in for Michael Patrick this week. It's a chilly one out there. I think there's a frost warning for parts of this listening area. Not all of it, but parts of it. Actually, I had to put on a coat before I walked out the door this morning. Brr! I guess fall is really here. And it's also, as Tony Cuthbert reminded me today, the first Fall Football Friday. That's exciting. That means that we've got high school football on Fridays, college football on Saturday, and, of course, the pro football on Sunday. And I guess you got pro football on Sunday as well, or Monday. So it starts off four straight days. And then if you follow JV football, you had JV football last night. So it is fall officially here in Michigan. Let's go over a little bit of news here. The Attorney General's office is now going to take a look at the report from the Michigan State Police on whether former House Speaker Lee Chatfield should be charged with anything in connection with an alleged assault on his former sister-in-law, Rebecca Chatfield. The Michigan State Police released to MERS and other news outlets yesterday a public records request regarding the investigation into Chatfield sexually assaulting his sister-in-law back when she was a student and he was the athletic director at the Northern Michigan Christian Academy School. We got 239 pages, and pretty much all of them were redacted. A lot of black ink in that report. But what it did say is that Lee Chatfield's family school, where this alleged assault kind of started, is not keeping very good records. They went around and asked personnel about personnel records and who was at the school and when were people hired. And they got a lot of blank stares and a lot of shrugs and like, I don't know, I don't really keep a lot of records, which they thought was strange. But I guess when you got a small private Christian school, maybe sometimes they don't keep the best records, I suppose. And they found that. They also found Lee Chatfield deleted a lot of text messages, which I don't know. I guess if you know the state police are coming, maybe you do some of that. But those were the two takeaways from the report that were not completely deleted from public records request. Now it's in the hands of the Attorney General. See if she does anything with it. Republican gubernatorial candidate Tudor Dixon announced that she was going to streamline or roll back Michigan's, quote, massive regulatory code during her 4 years in office, her first 4 years in office, if she were to be elected. She's looking at getting rid of 40% of the business regulations if elected in her first term, presuming she beats Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Epic MRA did another poll on the governor's race, and you know, talking about Tudor Dixon here, and it showed she's not doing very well. Gretchen Whitmer, the incumbent, is beating her by 16 points now. We had it at 11 points just the week prior when MERS News used Epic MRA to do the polling, and just in a week, it's gotten pretty large. Now we're talking 16%, 6% are undecided. Republican strategist John Yobb, who is not an admirer of the Dixon campaign. He was working with Perry Johnson and James Craig before both of them got tossed off the ballot for not having good signatures. He tweeted, "This is what 6 weeks of near darkness on the airwaves does to you. She seems to have been left for dead by her key supporters, and now the legislature is at risk as a result." We were taking a look earlier this week at some data from something called Priorities USA. Priorities USA is a left-leaning group, but it is an advocacy group that was tracking online spending. And whether Republicans or Democrats or, I guess, nonprofits or outfits that support Republicans or Democratic candidates, what they're spending online. And what they showed for a 1 week window is a massive lopsided advantage for the Democrats in Michigan. Now, in other states, they showed the Republicans were competitive or spending more money than the Democrats. States like North Carolina, Florida, Georgia, even Wisconsin, the Republicans are spending more money than the Democrats. But in Michigan, it's $800,000 to like $50,000 or something. It's a massive lopsided difference for the Democrats. They're also spending more money in Minnesota for whatever that's worth. So the Democrats have a big spending advantage in the state of Michigan right now. And based on these results from Epic from this past week, it would appear as if that is paying off and that the Democrats are doing well right now. A bill to allow financially struggling hospitals to apply for a new designation as a rural emergency hospital and receive federal relief heard testimony before a House Health Policy Committee on Thursday. The advocates for this bill say that rural hospitals are struggling, particularly during COVID. They're having decreased patient volumes, but they're also having low staff. And so they're having a hard time justifying keeping open 24/7 emergency services, which many of these communities still need. But when you don't have the patient volume coming in and you don't have the staff, it's very hard to keep these facilities open. And so these rural hospitals have a designation in the federal code that would allow them to get some emergency money, and the state legislature is trying to help them out to try and get that funding. Michigan Stadium's tunnel is going to get a name. They're going to name it after the guy who it was often teased was, you can't spell Lloyd without at least two L's. Lloyd Carr, who they chased out of Ann Arbor, by the way, is going to get his name memorialized on the tunnel that leads from the locker room to the field. It's going to be called Lloyd Carr Tunnel. Boy, time makes the heart go fonder, doesn't it, Tony Cuthbert?
It takes two bad coaches, Rich Rodriguez and then Brady Hoke, and everybody loves Lloyd, no question about it. Good friend of this show, good friend of Michael Patrick, so we all love Lloyd around these parts.
That's great. Heart. I always wondered why they got rid of Lloyd. I thought he was fine. They were always competitive under Lloyd Carr.
I don't know the exact situation behind all of that, but it was that season that he went out. It was the loss to Appalachian State, and then they lost to Oregon, and then they wrapped it all up. If you remember, it was a bowl game. It was in Florida. I can't remember. It was probably like the Capital One Bowl or something like that. It was Michigan taking on Florida, and Florida was led by Tim Tebow of that. And Michigan won the game handily. So Lloyd went out very nicely with that win.
Well, now he's going to be remembered for the tunnel. The university will dedicate it before the game against Penn State on October 15. Carr attended the Board of Regents meeting yesterday when it was announced. He called the tunnel hallowed ground. He became an assistant coach in 1980 and served 13 years as head coach, winning 5 Big Ten conference titles and the 1997 national championship. Who was the quarterback during that?
None other than Brian Greasy.
Brian Greasy, yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. All right. You're listening to Michigan's Big Show starring Michael Patrick Shields. Kanye West is apologizing to Kim Kardashian for any stress he caused to his ex. Kardashian was speaking on Good Morning America, and West said no one else needs to be causing stress to Kim, either because that's the mother of his children, or maybe he just feels really sorry. Who knows? Strange situations there in Hollywood. You're listening to Michigan's Big Show starring Michael Patrick Shields. Welcome back. We are presented by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, and we're coming at you through the AT&T microphones. Tony Cuthbert on the other side of the glass. Have you ever gone to Texas Roadhouse, Tony Cuthbert?
I've been there, but it's been years upon years ago. Oh,
all right. Well, the calling card for Texas Roadhouse is the butter that comes with their hot rolls that come out when you get there.
Okay.
I mean, before you even order, you can get these rolls, and you get this like honey cinnamon butter that's like crack, yeah. Right? Well, anyway, they're making a candle now that's inspired by the cinnamon butter that comes with Texas Roadhouse.
Well, I'm kind of shocked that this already does not exist, because we get into this craze, whether it's, well, pumpkin spice or anything like that. There's candles now that you can get your candle to smell like a ballpark, a baseball park that you like, apparently, that are this big craze online. You can get a Comerica Park scented candle, whatever that is.
Anyway, well, it's coming on sale, well, today for $12. The company has perfected the scent of the delicious honey cinnamon butter you enjoyed on your fresh baked bread and put it in candle form. So basically, you can just walk around your house with your mouth salivating all day. All right. Well, we've got a new poll that came out. It's suggesting a record turnout for November's midterm elections. Roughly 64% of respondents in the NBC News poll said that they have a very high interest in the midterms. That's up from 58% in a similar poll in 2018. The midterms will determine control of the House and the Senate for the next 2 years. If you live in the Lansing area and you'll watch local television, particularly during the news hours, you've probably seen quite a few television commercials. I think the number one commercial that I've seen, or the figure that I've seen most, is Alyssa Slotkin, Tony Cuthbert.
Yeah, Alyssa Slotkin, Tom Barrett, this whole race has been very, very... I mean, if you watch a local newscast, the whole block is back to back to back on that one race, usually.
I'm looking at one right now.
There it is.
Yeah, I mean, we're watching WILX just kind of off the side of our eye here. And there it is. It's another one. It's just back to back all the time.
Yeah, it's something else.
Man. I talked to her a couple days ago. She said that she saw numbers that this is the biggest spending congressional district in the country. And it could be, I know that it has, that she's been in expensive ones in the past where they had to use the Detroit media market to get at people. And I don't know if they're using the Detroit media market this year, because this new district is pretty much all Lansing. It's Lansing and Eaton County and Clinton County, and it does go into Livingston. So I guess if they're trying to get some of that Livingston market, they can spend in Detroit. But that's a lot of money to put in Detroit just to get kind of an outlying area.
And I mean, price differential between the two markets is staggering, of course.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah. Huge. Oh, here's another slot. We got yet another one. And it's not paid necessarily by the campaigns. In fact, the campaigns don't pay for it ever. It's always these outside PACs. It's either like the D.C. Democrats or the D.C. Republicans, or, and then they create these like goofy names like Americans for a Better Government or some nonsense. You know, it's the same money. It's just being filtered through a different lens, I suppose. This is called the Congressional Leadership Fund, the one that they're showing right now. But it's the same kind of stuff. It's something else. Anyway, I've gotten some publicity on this, the MERS newsletter, because we had Tudor Dixon on our podcast, and now the Democrats are using some of the stuff from the podcast and throwing it in there. And I've had a lot of people come up to me and say that they've heard my voice more on the television than they've heard from me in years.
Do they have to ask you to put that in a spot like that? No. Could you tell them to take it down?
Oh, sure, I could if I wanted to, but they won't, because it's free. It's open access. I mean, it's a free podcast, so anybody can go on it. MERSnews.podbean.com. If you want to go to a PODBEAN, we do it every Monday. And in fact, we had Tudor Dixon on again. I think it was the one before the one that's on right now. And you can go back and listen to all the podcasts. You can listen to the one from last September when she's in all these ads, and you can listen to the exchange I had with her on her view on abortion, and she said no exceptions three times. Mm-hmm. I asked her three different times. She said no exceptions three different times. So you can listen to it. It's right there. But yeah, I'm getting quite a bit of...
You're famous.
I guess. I don't know if I like it. It would be nice, though, if it attracted attention and everyone wants to come on, but now everyone's gun-shy because they're like, oh my God, what happens if I say something on Kyle's podcast? And then it will get blown out, you know, and now everybody then it's going to use the ads and stuff. You know, that's the downside to it all. I mean, the upside is that, you know, it draws attention to the podcast, I suppose, but the downside is people start looking at it. It's like coming on this show. It's like coming on any show.
Yep.
Guests have to like weigh the possibilities, you know, are we going to get more positive bang out of this, or are we going to risk saying something stupid that's going to be used against us?
Kyle asks those gotcha questions. You got to be careful.
Well, you know what? If you're in politics and you're not prepared for an abortion question, you should probably reconsider what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's number one. When you're prepping yourself for the issues that are coming up, you should probably know what you're going to say about that one, because you know that's going to come up. Well, they're polling everything right now, and there's a new poll that says about two-thirds of Republicans do not believe former President Trump had classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. The poll was released Thursday by Marquette Law School, found that only 39% of respondents who identify as Republicans believe Trump had classified documents at his resort, while 61% do not. These numbers probably track almost identically with those Republicans who believe widespread election fraud contributed to Trump's loss in 2020. I don't know that, but I'm going to guess that it's pretty close from based on polling that I've seen. All right, one other thing here. The child's game of hopscotch has led to a new poll or new world record being set in Colorado. A team of three hoppers completed a course measuring 4.37 miles. Wow. Last week at the Chatfield State Park south of Denver, a representative of the Guinness Book of World Records verified that the group had set a new record, beating a 4.2-mile hopscotch course done in Atlanta. Meanwhile, I can report that my son, Finnegan Malin, was attempting to break a world record yesterday by folding the smallest origami frog. He took this small little piece of paper and some tweezers and made this super tiny frog. So you know, then you know what he did? He tried to make it hop.
Oh, no.
And it hopped off the desk, went into the carpet, never to be seen again.
Call Guinness. The end.